with me from John 1, verse 4 to 5, and John 8, verse 12. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know that saying, a picture paints a thousand words? I think Jesus knew that a word picture, a metaphor, goes a long way too. I wonder if there is a bigger invitation, not only in what each metaphor means, but just in the fact that Jesus uses metaphors to help us discover more than what meets the eye. I grew up with the I am sayings as ways in which Jesus describes himself, but I think it's so easy to miss just how significant these words are. In my preparation, I was really moved by Jesus' eagerness to help his people understand and experience what it meant that he came to be among us and show us who God is in him. There's a metaphor, a claim, an invitation in his words. There is a light of the world, something that brings illumination to the darkness we experience, the darkness we sometimes are. There is an answer to the evil and lifeless, hopeless desolation that we experience. And Jesus is it. Now there is a way of being and a way of doing life that is hopeful, truthful, and filled with the life-giving energy he provides. So let's explore. First, Jesus gives us a metaphor. We know that without light, there cannot be any life. Without light, plants cannot synthesize and grow. And without plants, we don't have oxygen. Without plants, we don't have food or any form of sustenance. Thus, without the sun, the earth would be desolate and dead. The temperature would drop to below what we can survive. There would be no energy from which to function. We know also that light illuminates. It helps us to give meaning to things around us and allows us to interpret what we are seeing. Think about it. The light that reflects from an object is received, and our mental processes interpret these light signals to help us understand distance, shape, perspective. And amazingly, the light signals we perceive even help us interpret what we don't see, objects behind objects. Light thus not only metaphorically represents truth, but actually reveals the truth of our reality around us. But here's more to this metaphor. Light also influences our hormones and our emotional well-being. Living without sunlight for prolonged periods has been known to intensify feelings of depression. The mood-boosting hormone serotonin is increased with appropriate exposure to the sun. Vitamin D is produced when allowing the sun to fall on your skin. I think Jesus already knew the correlation between light and joy, warmth and comfort. So light says something about life, about truth, and joy. But there's even more to this metaphor when we consider the timing of when Jesus said this and the space within which he chose to say this. So let's just go and have a look at this timing and space and meet Jesus in his own words. In chapter 7, just before our scripture of today, we see it is the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Israelites are commemorating something big, something that had formed their identity and shaped their history, something that had carried them through the worst of times, the exile from Egypt and the journey through the desert. Recall with me the pillar of light that God gave them as a tangible physical symbol of his presence in the desert, leading them, guiding them, consoling them. To remember this, the Israelites would light massive candelabras. It was to be so bright that all the people around would be aware of this light piercing the darkness, representing the pillar of light, which was Israel's hope for the future God had promised. The next morning, chapter 8, Jesus was back in the temple representing God's presence amongst his people. and everyone would be packing up and finishing everything around the feast. Everything in this space points to God's presence. But he hadn't been experienced in the way they were remembering and celebrating in centuries. In this space and time, I wonder if people were wondering, where was God? Why was he silent? When would he make his presence known again? Had God perhaps moved on from the people he had once chosen and loved? And then Jesus comes and he says, in Tim Keller's words, I am the missing presence of God. I am the pillar of light you long for. I am the life, the truth, the joy, the consolation, the comfort. I am that. I am him. Now, I don't think God was absent, but how often, like the Israelites, do we feel he is? Maybe all the whys you have asked God in your life resemble times like this. And here Jesus is saying, if you're looking for God, you found him in me. If you're longing for his profound, miraculous, personal presence, you found him in me. He is God's immediate, guiding, tangible presence in our desert, in our nights, in our desolation. In your despair, in your uncertainty, in your darkness, there is a pillar of light. You would think that these were welcome words, but this metaphor did not make Jesus popular. John 8 verse 20 says, no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Why was he at risk of being seized? Because through these words, this metaphor, he was claiming to be God. God amongst people. And if he wasn't God, his words would be blasphemy. 10 chapters later, Jesus is arrested because they didn't recognize him as God. They couldn't accept his claims. He couldn't, in their eyes, be this personal, close God. They didn't see Jesus as the light. And despite the risk, Jesus doesn't back down from the boldness of his claim, because he's not saying he resembles light or is like God. He is light. And he's so sure of this claim and so adamant that it needs to be heard that he's willing to put his life on the line for this claim. There is light. It is undeniable. And Jesus is it. So now Jesus also gives us an experience. God has always loved his people profoundly and never not been eager to connect with us. But our choices has at times disrupted our experience of this love. While we may know and profess that his love is unconditional and we enjoy his grace, we may lack the feeling of his companionship, this freedom in relationship. Perhaps because deep down we still feel that we need to do our part or keep God happy. We speak of friendship with Jesus, yet only about a transcendent, powerful God reaching down from heaven. All the while we yearn to feel the consolation of familiarity in conversation with him. So personally, I've found a gap between what I see Jesus inviting me to and how I often live life. On the one hand, my conviction of who he is to me, and the other, my experience of who he is in my life. But when Jesus invites us to follow him, it's not only to a way of thinking about him or a way of believing him, but to an experience of a life lived with him. He says, I am the light. Whoever follows me, whoever walks with me, whoever does life with me, watches me, observes this life, learns from me, is with me, will have light. The experience of living life with Jesus, living in the light, can only be found in being with him. And in being with him, the experience of who he is unfolds as God being close, loving, intimately connected in relationship with his people. God's glory is packaged in the person of Christ so that we may approach him and not die. We can feel the rays of the sun and not be consumed. We can enjoy the friendship with him that he's always intended and sought. In Jesus, we can touch God. We can experience all the light, all that light is, in relationship with him. The pillar of light is no longer only frightening and dangerous, revered from a distance, but the light is safe and close. It is profound and overwhelming, but it's gentle and intimate. We may shiver and fall at his feet at the wonder of who he is and what he does, but it is at the feet of a God we can know, a God we can talk to and love personally. Now, we don't serve a God who is somewhere, and we're desperately trying to find him and connect with him. Now we serve a God with whom we are already connected. Now we serve a God who is doing life with us. We get to enjoy a deep and personal connection. Our journey is to grow in awareness of him and our being in him. And as this awareness grows, we can start feeling alive as we wake up with him, eat with him, travel to different places with him, pray with him. As we follow him, we become excited with life and all he is doing within it. There is more to life than surviving it. There is a life to live. Jesus as light brings us into the experience of life. I remember how close I felt to God running on the beach and then taking a swim in the ice-cold ocean. I felt alive, invigorated, and very aware that I was made by God, blessed with a world brimming with life, and sustained by Creator God. As we follow him, we also realize we are seeing things as they are, more than guessing in the dark or disguising things in the shadows. I was in a conversation with my spiritual mentor a couple of days ago, and she gently helped me turn to the light and turn the light to a shadow that I've been comfortably hiding in for a long time. I experienced the illuminating light of Jesus' love as I became aware of an unhealthy pattern that was keeping me trapped. The experience of Jesus as light in this conversation was uncomfortable. But it was freeing, it was liberating. Truth was opening up locked compartments within me and allowing me to see what was actually going on within me. I felt vulnerable and exposed almost, but safe and loved. Light is experienced in being able to see clearly, or as new insight is brought to the foreground. And then, as we follow him, we begin to feel the warmth of the light in the world around us. We recognize his touch in everyday things and encounters. Light is experienced in the joy of Jesus loving us in all the big and small ways in our daily lives. And lastly, Jesus gives us a mission. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 15 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." What is the effect of living in the light? As the light, we become vessels of the glory of God. We become God's presence packaged in a way that people around us can feel the light. So what does this life look like? Some of what we know about this life is that it is a life of integrity. It's an attractive life, and it's a courageous life. Let's just stand still with integrity. When we follow Jesus, we become light bearers. That means that we cannot choose darkness when it suits us, because even when we are in situations or spaces in our lives that are dark, the light within us keeps shining. So we can't be one way in the dark and one way in the light, because the light is within us. Sometimes we may turn from the light, but as soon as we become aware, we can turn back to him. That is repenting, just turning back to the light. Not splitting and living segmented lives, but integrating our brokenness and our redemption, bringing all the elements of who we are into the light and living as people who are light. Then it's an attractive life. And I wonder, are people somehow drawn to this life we are living? Not a perfect or a glamorous life, but a life displaying the joy of a journey lived with God in His light. I was 16 years old when I started waitressing on weekends. And there was this one guy who would often wait with me. And the 16-year-old teenager me fell head over heels in love with a blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy who was really only interested in friendship with me. So we ended up just being friends. And after a couple of weekends of getting to know each other, I remember I was busy preparing some decadent hot drink for a customer, and my friend looked at me and he asked, "Why are you so happy?" In the moment, I thought he was just referring to that time in space or the day, but as I saw the intensity in his expression, I realized he was asking a bigger question. He wanted what I had. Not facts or figures or explanation or knowledge. He wanted to feel the way that I did. And he saw something in me that was bigger than me. He saw something that I couldn't generate or take credit for because it didn't come from me. I wonder, how can we be light that draws people to the ultimate light? And then this life is courageous. Yes, because it requires us to be vulnerable as we shed light on our own darkness, but also because it isn't easy to shed light on darkness within community. It's not popular to bring to light immorality, lies, corruption. It's really hard. It's really risky. And it requires immense wisdom to do it in a way that speaks of compassion and grace. It's way easier to keep quiet and ignore the dark spots and become blind to them. But living in the light means stepping into the light and calling others to do so too. There's a series on Apple TV called See, and it's set in a world where humanity has lost the gift of sight for centuries. They had adjusted to the darkness and learned to live without the sense of sight. But then two children were born with sight. And eventually a small number more. They grew up in a world where sight was feared. They were called evil for being able to see. The sighted were feared. And seeing became dangerous. But here's the profound thing. Those who could see had a different calling. Despite the danger, despite how they were perceived and treated, they were called to lead, to create, to learn, to teach. Living in the light, perceiving a different world, asked something of them, and the gift they brought was profound. Being able to see, living in the light, asks something of us too. We can bring something to this world. Despite the risk of how we may be perceived, despite how comfortable humanity has become to not seeing, in not seeing, we have a mission in this world where there's blindness, where there's darkness. We get to see beauty. We can experience the consoling warmth of God's personal presence. We get insight and wisdom for our daily journey. And now we have a gift to bring, a mission to be light. How will your world change when you accept your mission to be light, flowing not from your own strength and capacity, but from the light within you? What life-giving gifts can you then bring? What liberating truths will be uncovered? What freedom will be discovered? How will you influence others to pursue their longing for joy? Last week, Roland said that the most appropriate response to "I am" may be, "Here I am." What does it mean to say to Jesus the light, "Here I am"? Here I am, Lord, to open myself up to you and see what you want me to see. Here I am, Lord, to open up to community and speak truth like you do. Here I am, Lord, surrendering to a life lived with you in your light. Here I am, Lord, to acknowledge that I've been surviving and not living. I want to live. Here I am, Lord, ready to experience joy, warmth, and the freedom of a life with you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for meeting us and giving us a way of getting to know you. Thank you that we can do life with you and that we can experience this life of light in our everyday living. Thank you for the truth that you bring, for the beauty that you bring, for the joy that you bring. Show us how to open up to this life and follow you. Lord, help us to not only understand, not to remain only in our thoughts and our convictions, but to follow you into our hearts and an experience of this life with you. Use us, Lord, empower us, show us, guide us. And thank you for your personal presence with us. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May the love of God our Father, the friendship and the grace of Jesus Christ, his Son, and the fellowship and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with each of us. Amen.